Good evening, everyone. Monday, I began to feeling rough, and to where I even lost my voice Monday, and I'm thinking, how am I going to do this, you know? But I was talking to Brother Steve. I was texting him, and he says, I'll be praying. And I sent him a little text message. Jesus said, ask anything in my name, and I will do it. So that's what we've been doing is praying, and the Lord made it to where he gave me a message. And since I knew that Tuesday, I knew he was going to give me the ability to speak tonight. But I'll first make a few announcements here. As I got an email today that Randy Pitt took a turn for the worse, to be in much prayer for him and for Delberta. I don't know when her plane left, but she was flying from Tennessee back here to be with him. So I'm not sure if she's back yet, but just be in much prayer for her and with all that family. And continuously, Sister Theda in prayer and Mary in prayer. It's good to see them. It's good to see Sister Paula. Constantly be in prayer for Brother Tim and Paula also. I guess Brother Tim went to U of M yesterday. I don't know what he was getting checked, but just pray for him that everything would go well there. Pray also for the conference there where Brother Mark Clark Sr., And just pray that the Lord would be involved with everything there, the preachers, with all the work and the labor and all the church members. Why? Because that's what happened to us. The Lord was involved with everything here and it turned out really good, didn't it? So the Lord will do the same thing there. Just pray for the Lord to be involved with everything there. And for traveling mercies, for pastor and all the members, that the Lord will watch over and bring them back home safely unto us. Pray for Brother Greg Gordon's dad. He had mentioned to pastor about us praying for his dad. And continue to pray for Tina, Sister Ruth Ann's daughter, and Jerry Hurley. Brother Art, would you lead us in a word of prayer before the message? If you turn with me to John chapter 10, the title of my message is, I am the Good Shepherd. I am the Good Shepherd. We'll be reading a lot of Bible verses, so you'll get a little practice at that. But in John chapter 10, and we'll read in verse 1, Jesus here is speaking. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door, he's talking about a shepherd who doesn't enter in by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber, or a false shepherd. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable Jesus spake unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them louder and clearer unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. but the sheep did not hear them. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, and not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, he seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. The wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. Jesus says again, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. They shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath the devil, and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath the devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, at the feast of dedication, and it was winter. Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him, and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I've told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. That word shepherd was mentioned 6 times. Jesus mentioned the word shepherd. Jesus in this parable is making sure we understand the importance of a shepherd. Turn with me quickly to Matthew 9, verse 35 and 36. Matthew 9, verse 35, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Jesus in this parable is making sure we understand the importance of a shepherd. He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. A shepherd tends or applies oneself to the care of or to have or take charge of as a caretaker or an overseer. A shepherd rears. That word rear means to look after a child or a youngster until fully grown. A shepherd guides. That word guides means to guard, protect, or he watches over. A good shepherd leads, be it a route or a means of access to a particular place or to usher or to escort. A good shepherd will protect, to keep safe from harm or injury, to defend, shield, or preserve, to keep safe from animal attacks or from wanderings. Jesus said in verse 11, in verse 14, I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd will be first and foremost guardians and protectors of the sheep. A good shepherd will be gentle and strong. A good shepherd will be tender and courageous. A good shepherd will be caring and fierce. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. That must mean there are bad shepherds out there too. Jesus says in verse 1, as we read earlier, a bad shepherd will try to enter into the sheepfold some other way. Jesus says a bad shepherd is a thief and a robber. In verse 5, Jesus calls a bad shepherd a stranger. The sheep won't know his voice, and they won't follow him, but instead they'll flee from him. In verse 8, Jesus calls a bad shepherd a thief and a robber. In verse 10, Jesus calls these bad shepherds a thief that comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Verse 12 and 13, Jesus calls these bad shepherds a hireling. These hirelings will see a wolf coming and leave the sheep and flee. Verse 13, the hireling fleeth because he's a hireling. That's what Jesus said. And careth not for the sheep. That's what Pastor preached Sunday morning. I enjoyed his message Sunday morning. There's a lot of hirelings out there. There's too many voices out there. There's a lot of different voices, and all they are is hirelings. And the people are listening to them. They tell them all you need is more pot and more drugs and more alcohol. That's all you need is more fame and fortune, you know. Pastor prayed there in the men's prayer retreat there that God would give those people that came, the visitors, conviction. Why? To save them from that stuff. So they'll stop listening to the hirelings. Pastor's advice was stop listening to the hirelings or the bad shepherds and listen to the good shepherd. What makes Jesus so different as a shepherd? In fact, in Hebrews 13:20 declares him to be the great shepherd. He's not only a good shepherd, but he's great. Jesus makes some bold statements in John chapter 10. Very bold statements. Some unbelievable statements. That without a proper understanding of his power and his authority and his nature, these statements will be hard to believe. Very hard to believe. There's a lot out there, a lot of people out there in the religious world have a hard time believing some of the things that Jesus said. So what we're going to do, we're going to take a trip down memory lane of the power and the authority and the nature of this great shepherd, Jesus Christ. John here in verse, John chapter 1, if you turn to me there. John here gives us a glimpse of the power and the authority and the nature of this great shepherd. In John chapter 1 in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That sounds like a great shepherd to me. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. That sounds like a pretty awesome shepherd. Well, it even gets better in verse 10 through 14. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power. This great shepherd did. Gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John the Baptist in chapter 3 gives us a glimpse of the power and the authority and the nature of this great shepherd. In John chapter 3 in verse 30, John declares, He, this great shepherd, must increase and I must decrease. That is so true. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. Jesus Himself gives us a glimpse of His power and authority and nature in John chapter 17. If you turn with me there. John 17. And we'll read verses 1 and 2. These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son may glorify Thee, as Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. Jesus again gives us a glimpse of the power and authority and nature of this great shepherd in John chapter 19. Then said Pilate unto him in verse 10, 19:10, then said Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and I have power to release thee? Jesus answered him and says, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. From henceforth Pilate sought to release him. Pilate didn't want nothing to do with this anymore. Sounds like a pretty powerful shepherd here. Jesus also gives us a glimpse of the power and the authority and nature of this great shepherd in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11 in verse 27. Jesus here declares, all things are delivered unto me. All things. All means all. Are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. All things are delivered unto him. Paul, in Ephesians chapter 1, if you turn with me there. Paul gives us a glimpse of the power and authority and nature of this great shepherd. Verses 19 through 23. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power? Not just his power, but the exceeding greatness of it. To us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Because he is at the right hand in heavenly places, that makes him far above all principality, power, and might. Not just a little bit above, but far above all principality and power and might and dominion. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. He hath put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Paul again, just a couple pages forward in Philippians chapter 2. Chapter 2, Paul again gives us a glimpse of the power, nature, and authority of this great shepherd. Verses 9 through 11. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him. He just didn't exalt him, but he highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Paul, again, just a few pages forward in Colossians, gives us a glimpse of the power, the nature, and the authority of this great shepherd. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14 through 17. In whom, that is Christ, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Christ is, who is, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. That's a lot of power. That's a pretty powerful shepherd. And in Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And and ye are complete in him. Why? Because all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. There is no power greater than this great shepherd. Peter gives us a glimpse in 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 3. In verse 22, who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. That's a pretty impressive resume, ain't it? This great shepherd. It's pretty impressive. You know, when he speaks, people ought to listen. And I do believe the people that have been chosen by him will listen. And they're going to hear and they're going to follow, as we'll see. Why would it be so hard to believe someone with such a resume like this great shepherd? Why would it be so hard? I believe a lot of the things that get in the way is traditions gets in the way. That ain't the way I was taught to believe. That ain't the way I was raised to believe. Or I'm a Catholic, or I'm a Lutheran, or I'm a Methodist. We can't believe that way when they ought to just listen to the great shepherd. And don't listen to that stuff. Even some Baptists fog up or cause to get their vision cloudy. You know, people's, why? Because they don't point them towards the great shepherd. He is the only hope for the sheep. There is no other hope for any sheep other than this great shepherd. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Jesus told those people, you are not of my sheep. There in, back to John chapter 10. Jesus told some people there, I'm in Matthew here, let's see. Jesus told some people there, but ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep. That's exactly what he said in verse 26. These are the same people that came to him after Jesus told them some amazing statements, some bold statements. These are the same people that were there. They heard it right straight from the shepherd himself. But there was a division in verse 19. Therefore among them, the Jews for these sayings. Many of them said, he hath the devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath the devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? It was at Jerusalem at the Feast of Dedication. It was winter. Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then they came round about him and said, if you be the Christ, tell us plainly. He told them over and over again. Jesus said, I told you, but you believe not. The works, he did works before their face. He did works in their presence. Amazing things. He caused the blind to see. Fed over 5,000. He calmed storms before these people, but they still couldn't believe. I told you, but you believe not. Verse 25. The works I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not because you're not of my sheep. In verse 6, they were confused. This parable spake Jesus unto them. But they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Said Jesus unto them again. He told them again. Verily, verily, I very loud and clear. Very simple. Very loud and clear. I am the door of the sheep. I am the door. There is no other door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Jesus told these people, the ones who were confused, you don't believe because you're not of my sheep. In verse 29, Jesus made it very clear, my Father which gave them me is greater than all. These are the sheep. And then this is what got them upset right here. This is what got the people upset. This parable Jesus spake unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, loud and clear, I am the door. I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Jesus says in verse 14, I am the good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep. Three times this great shepherd says he knows the sheep. In verse 3, to him the porter hath opened, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. In verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. He knows every single one of these sheep. Why? Because these are the sheep the Father gave him. Verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And I know them. Four times Jesus, the good shepherd, says he gives his life for the sheep. In verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That's what makes him so good. Verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And in verse 17 and 18, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. And I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment I have received of my Father. 16 times Jesus mentions the word sheep. Jesus himself talked about the characteristics, some of the characteristics of a sheep. He said in Matthew 9:36, two of the characteristics, they faint and they're scattered abroad pretty easily. So I looked up online some of the characteristics of sheep. I looked them up online. I found this pretty good. You know, I was reading online that a sheep is timid and fearful and easily panicked. Very easily. They're gullible and they're dumb. I was telling a guy at work, you know, a wolf can come up to a sheep, grab it by the throat, and all it's going to do is just baa. That's it. It's over. They have little or no means of self-defense, a sheep does. They're easily killed by enemies. Even sheep are jealous and competitive for dominance. Of all the livestock, sheep need the most care. Sheep do. Jesus says two times, the sheep the Father gave him will actually know him. In verse 4, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. They're going to know his voice. And in verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. The sheep are going to know who is the great shepherd. Jesus, the good shepherd, boldly declares, the sheep the Father gave him will hear his voice. Five times. He says it very boldly, very clear. In verse 3, to him the porter hath opened, and the sheep hear his voice. They're going to hear his voice. In verse 4, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. These sheep that the Father gave him are going to know the voice of the great shepherd. And in verse 8, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. But they're going to hear the voice of the shepherd. Verse 16, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice too. He's speaking of the Gentiles. There are Gentile sheep also, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Jesus, the good shepherd, declares three times, the sheep the Father gave him will follow him gladly, happily, and gladly, not grudgingly and of necessity. I have been a follower of this great shepherd for nearly 28 years, happily and gladly. Three times he says that these sheep are going to follow him. Verse 4, 5, and 27. Jesus says in verse 11, once again, I am the good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep. Verse 16, Jesus says, and other sheep, Gentiles, I have which are not of this fold, Jewish. Them, the Gentiles, also I must bring. They too are the sheep the Father gave him. They shall hear my voice. There shall be one fold and one shepherd, this great shepherd. What is it that makes this great shepherd? There has never been a shepherd that has promised like this shepherd. This shepherd promises to eternally tend to his sheep, eternally. This great shepherd promises to eternally rear his sheep. This great shepherd promises to eternally guide his sheep. This great shepherd promises to eternally lead these sheep. And this great shepherd promises to eternally protect his sheep. What's so different about this shepherd? He also promises eternal security. In verse 27 through 30, in closing, Jesus said, my sheep, whether Jew or Gentile, hear my voice, and I know them, and they're going to follow me, and I'm going to give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Brother Bill.